Hello, everybody. I'm Matt Seidel along with Derek Seidel, and this is Coach Speak. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the pod. We continue our previews tonight, and this is preview number five, and we get into perhaps arguably, maybe not so arguably, it just is the best basketball conference of any of the ones that we preview. And this is, of course, the SEC Red, which traditionally is loaded with talent, individual talent, year in and year out. And that's no exception this year. And occasionally we get a team or two that is, I guess, among the best in the state. What comes to mind, Derek, when you think of SEC Red basketball?
You know, I think what comes to mind for me is that my freshman year when I was on the JV at Dexter, we beat all of these teams. And I'm hanging my hat on that still. Now, did I ever beat them on the varsity level? We don't need to talk about that. But, yeah, that JV year, we got them. I'm holding on to that because you're right. This is a very good basketball conference. And all joking aside, yes, it's a high-level basketball conference. The Ann Arbor area is definitely a basketball area. And you know, there's obviously it kind of goes in waves as to which team is the best in this league. And year in and year out, there's high level talent, there's good coaching, and there's just really good basketball. So I'm kind of removed from this area a little bit now, being out here in Jackson County. I see less of these teams play. We'll kind of mention that maybe as we go throughout here, that a lot of this is either video or just hearsay on a lot of these guys, more so than it used to be, but definitely a high quality basketball conference. And I wouldn't, you know, I think that there's teams always in here that are on par with many in the state.
Well, hey, you beat some of these teams at the varsity level. I don't know if you ever got past Huron, but I think you beat some of them. It's funny that you referenced the 2010-11 Dexter JV team your freshman year. That they had a hell of a coach that year. I don't remember his name, but man, he did a hell of a job with that team. Man, they overachieved throughout the year. We'll have to do some research, find out who that coach was. But anyway, enough said. You know, this Huron has won this league 3 years in a row. Outright championships in the pandemic year of 1920. They won it in the shortened season of 2021, and they won it again last year, 21-22 season, with a 13-1 record. They finished three games ahead of Skyline. You know, Skyline and Huron are up there a lot, but, you know, Skyline hasn't won this league since 2017-18, and the last team other than Huron to win it was Pioneer in 2018-19 season. They were undefeated in the league at 10-0. So this is, you know, Huron going for the four-peat this year. So we'll see. But that, you know, they deserve the leadoff spot in our order tonight. So let's start with Ann Arbor Huron, who has a new coach in Mo Kisham taking over for Waleed Samaha. And they're going to be good. Just looking at their lineup, we've talked a little bit about this in podcasts leading up to this, but this is going to be a really good basketball team again. They've got a good mix of experienced players, and even some of their young players are experienced. But when you look at this list of guys coming back for Huron, what jumps out at you?
Yeah, we've mentioned a lot of these guys already, like you said previously, and I think, you know, the depth of talent is always key at Huron. I mean, they've always had, you know, varsity JV teams that just are super deep. You know, they see them going around in the summer with their JV team winning all kinds of games at varsity level events, which is, you know, is wild. But I guess what I'm getting at, though, is they always have good talent. They always have good players, and they play a tough nose style. Again, they're really always hard to score on. They're very good defensively. I know it used to be the old 2-2-1 three-quarter court, like for 32 minutes. And now it's, you know, maybe not a little bit less of that in recent years, but that's kind of what comes to mind when you talk about this program. Like you said, even last year, when I think many people were doubting them, they kind of thought that it wasn't going to be quite as good of a team. They still were right there at the top of the league. So they're deserving of the spot. I think when you look at the personnel, like Braylon Dickerson as a senior guard forward, as experienced guy, is going to be key. I think he'll be a good piece for them, just solid guy on the wing. And then a guy like Adam Samaha, like we said, is a specialist as a shooter. He's going to be huge for him. And then, but I think really the X factor, like we've mentioned a bunch of times here, that he could be kind of a breakout guy as one of the best players in the area is Makari Moore, the point guard, is only a sophomore for Huron. So just having those guys to start, I think that's great. And then like I said, the depth behind them is going to be excellent as well. They're going to be a tough team to beat on every single night. And I'm curious to see if they can kind of go for that, get that four-peat, you know. And the other thing too, with Coach Samaha leaving, like how much does that change things? You know, not only system wise, but culture wise and all that, like, you know, is it going to have the same feel? Is it going to look the same in terms of what they're doing? It'd be very interesting to see how the year goes.
Right. You know, Makari Moore, the one thing, again, the little write-up that coach gave us on him, you know, when it always catches my eye when a coach says that he, you know, he's a floor general and he makes everybody around him better. That always catches my eye, because I always think that's the difference between a good player and maybe a great player someday. And this kid is only a sophomore. So I think that's really quite a tribute to him. Trey Edmondson, a 6'4 senior. We don't want to sleep on him. Missed last season due to a knee injury. He's another coach's son, just like Adam Samaha. Again, a hard worker and gets after it. So I think his presence coming back this year as a senior is going to be instrumental in their success. And there's another junior kid that, you know, kind of a returner, Jackson Kiefer, 6'3", junior, kind of a guard forward. The coach described him as a high IQ player, but he can shoot a little bit, has a knack for scoring, and is a confident player, which, of course, again, Huron, they win so much. There's no doubt. And there's 5, 6, 7 other guys that are newcomers that are going to have a chance to get minutes and figure in this. And, you know, that the one thing that, I guess, you know, Mo has been in their system, so that a lot of the things are going to stay the same and be consistent. But is he going to go back, and are they going to play a little bit more of that 2-2-1 pressure that Huron was known for, especially back like when you were playing? And Waleed had gotten away from that a little bit, but it's going to be curious to see what type of system tweaks he makes, or are they just going to be kind of the same thing that they've been doing? But this is going to be a good basketball team, not just in the area, but night in and night out on a state level. So typical, the Huron way, as they call it, and it's been fun to follow, and it will be again this year. Moving on, you know, if there is another team that might be even more talented on paper, and if there was a Vegas line on this league, this might be the favorite, and that would be Ann Arbor Skyline, coached by Mike Lovelace. They're flat out loaded, and they've got, you know, chemistry and putting it all together and being clutch and keeping the wheels on as the year goes on. Those are things that are going to decide their level of success. But this team, you know, Jaden Pott, Sam Kohling, Ben Still, that big three, we've been talking about them multiple times this fall as well. This is a team that I don't think anybody really wants to play during the season or late in the year. What catches your eye here with Skyline?
Yeah, you know, I think that they're, like you said, an experienced group. They're going to have a bunch of seniors in the mix who have played in big games. They've won big games. They're not going to be afraid of the spotlight or any of the teams they're facing this year. I mean, when you think about their season a year ago, again, they obviously finished behind Huron, but they win the district title and they take Belleville to overtime, you know, and that Belleville team goes on to play at the Breslin Center. So now with D1, that tends to be the case, that there's 30 teams a lot of times that if they get hot at the right time can get to the Breslin Center, because there's so much depth of talent with those bigger schools. So I expect them to be a team that could definitely do that again this year. You know, just like they probably were capable enough of doing it a year ago. But yeah, the talent wise is, like you said, it just pops off the screen, and the size of their players is really, you know, intriguing. You know, I know when we did our like all preseason all area draft, I like to go on and on about, you know, versatile long wings. You know, that's kind of the new wave thing and positionless basketball type stuff. And they basically have the perfectly constructed roster on paper for that. You know, they got all these 6'5" guys with some skills that can play on the perimeters. I mean, you got Jaden Potts that everyone knows about, kind of player of the year in the area a year ago, can score at will and can also set guys up as well. Sam Colling, who's 6'5", long and versatile, can help on both sides of the floor, scores inside, got a little mid-range game, is slowly expanding his game out. Then you got Ben Still, again, 6'5", can shoot it. You just have so many interchangeable pieces. I imagine, you know, it opens up a lot of options for you defensively. I know they used to be, when they had the Wades and stuff, they were really well known for switching and pressure defense. I think this is a great setup to do that if they choose to, or anything else if Coach Lovelace decides to go in a different direction. But when you have this experience of a group, I think that you got to be happy going into the season, and they probably feel they can beat anybody in the state. I think the biggest thing is just going to be that Huron, I guess, those Huron games. Can they get over the hump against Huron? They, like you said, they've controlled the league these last few years. And I think last year when we did our preview, we might've been saying that we thought Skyline was in line to be better than Huron, but at the end of the year, Huron got the better of them. So I think it's going to be interesting to see, but the talent is there for sure.
Wanted to add, you know, those three seniors that we've mentioned already, there are four more seniors that, how they fit, round out their starting lineup. It might be two of these four guys, but there's a couple of defensive specialists. Ish Abdul Aziz, I think I'm pronouncing that right, is a senior, quick, real good ball defender. He's one of them. And then maybe the best defender on their team is a guy named Caleb Schleck, who's 6'5" kid, another 6'5" kid at Huron. Those two guys bring the defensive end, and obviously, those three maybe mainstays, you got to keep them out of foul trouble. So sometimes they don't get the defensive assignments that someone else would, but those two guys. And then they got a couple of really good perimeter shooting seniors in Luke Williams, who just happens to be 6'4", and Emil Bond, the 6'2" kid, both shooting guard type. So they've got the pieces. They've got some newcomers that have had success on the basketball court. I keep an eye on this sophomore named Noah Silkworth, a 6'5" kid. Looks like he's an extremely impressive athlete, up and down the floor, dunks easily, block shots, just another kid that they can plug in there and get some things done. And there's some others too, but they're going to be good. You're right. They got to get past the Huron thing, at least from a season long standpoint. They can get Huron on any given night. They've proven that over time, but it's the consistency that Huron has in the league that Skyline has really not been able to duplicate. So, they're going to be right there. So another team that maybe, capable of making a run late in the season too. You know, let's move on to a team close to our heart, since you went to Dexter and I've lived in Dexter for over 25 years now. But that's Jason Rushton and the Dexter Dreadnoughts. And this is an interesting team to talk about because there's one piece that no one's really sure if he's going to be there or not. I'm not even sure Coach Rushton is sure. And that would be Brennan Parachek, who has been getting it done on the football field all fall, but whether or not he's actually going to play this year in his senior year remains to be seen. But Dexter with Evan Harrelson coming back, they have been competitive in this conference. And, you know, their girls actually won the league last year. Dexter has not been able to do that since going to the Red, but they're going to be a type of team, and they play good defense at Dexter, and they have some individual talent that they, you better not take them lightly.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think, Coach Rushton's still excited for this group. They graduated a really experienced backcourt that I think was really key for them these last few years with Ty Rickner and Cal Bavanaugh, and having to replace guys like that is going to be really tricky, I think. Having a guy like Evan Harrelson on the wing, who's got the length and the size and the ability to score, is really it's really key. And then, Joey Tesmer as another senior who's an experienced player, great athlete. Obviously, he's making a lot of big plays in the football field this year. He's also going to help with that. So I think that's kind of going to be the key. It's like while their young guards are getting used to things, can they Can those wings and possibly if Parachek's there, can they hold him off? It sounds like we may have a freshman starting point guard at Dexter, or at least in the mix, if not starting. And that's Jack DeMerrill. He played with the varsity this summer. I know this is a kid. I've heard this name coming up as a guy to watch out for. I know that he played a lot of basketball in the AAU and stuff like that. So I think he's going to be a piece that steps right in. That'll be interesting to see how that goes. Again, this is a tough league to play in as a freshman. There's no doubt. I mean, guys do it, but it is difficult, especially at the point guard position. We were talking about Makari Moore earlier. He was a guy that played some point guard a year ago in this league as a freshman, but it does take a special type of player to do that. And then, you know, Reeves Taylor, the transfer in who's been huge on the football field, as we've again kind of hinted at in previous podcasts, I guess he can hoop a little bit too. So with all the guys they lost from a year ago, they're going to need these guys to step in and be impact players if they're going to be able to hang in the race here in the SEC Red. But yeah, the swing piece is obviously Parachek. I mean, he's a great athlete. Obviously basketball is his third sport, but he's fully capable of impacting both ends of the floor on a nightly basis if he's out there. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm curious, like, when will we actually find out? I mean, because heck, if they make it to Ford Field here, you know, they'll miss the first week of practice anyways. But I guess it all comes down to the early enroll portion of it.
Right. And, you know, nothing against Brennan. This really comes down to, you know, where basketball sits in his heart, you know, and the kids that even though basketball might not be their ticket to college, if they really love this sport, which it's easy to do, love this sport, he'll be out there. If it's just one of those things that he's done socially or because he's good at, and it's a business decision to keep that body healthy for football, then maybe he doesn't. But you're right. It's a swing thing. It's with him. They could impact this conference, maybe to the point of contending. And without him, it's a lot more challenging, especially when you talk about the inexperience at the guard spots. But you know they're going to be well coached and they're going to be right there as usual. So, you know, one team that has come up in a lot of our conversations with league coaches in the Red is Temperance Bedford. And, you know, this is a team that finished near the bottom of the conference last year, coached by Jordan Bolin, but they return some dudes. And one in particular is a 6'7" senior center, Andrew Hollinger. And his name, like I said, anybody you talk to, they keep coming, Bedford's big kid. So, you know, when we research a little bit about this young man, you know, it sounds like he is a phenomenal offensive rebounder. And one of those guys where if you help off of his man, he can make you pay. And he shoots a really high percentage inside. Coach even mentioned he's a little bit unorthodox at times, but he's a very good free throw shooter, scores a lot around the rim, big time rebounder. So he, you know, having a big guy in a high school basketball game, if you can surround him with some backcourt play, you're ahead of the game a little bit. But him right there, with some experience coming back, is going to make them, I think people got to keep an eye on them. And if, you know, it'd be interesting to see if Bedford can get into the top half of the conference. It's been a while since they've been there.
Yeah. I mean, this seems like it's the sleeper team in the league, right? Like you got a lot of people that are like, watch out for Bedford. I guess maybe we're, you know, taking the cat out of the bag here a little early on that. if that is the case, but yeah, I've heard the same thing with Andrew Hollinger, and it's gonna be really interesting to see what he can do this year. It sounds like a year ago he was one of, if not the leading scorer in the conference and rebounder. So he just hearing that again, it reminds me, I should know the guy's name, but my senior year they had a kid that's literally 30 points and 26 rebounds on us in a game, in one game, 30 points, 26 rebounds. He was a football player that went on to play at Eastern Michigan. I don't remember his name. It was one of the best performances I've seen. And it sounds like this guy is from the same mold, just goes and gets every rebound, and can really score it. I know Coach Rushton, when I talked to him a little bit about, this was a guy he mentioned, and he said that he's like the perfect, small college basketball post player is how he described it. Like just the kind of guy, like maybe he's not the, you know, your D1 athlete at the center position and maybe not quite as big as that, but like at a smaller college program, he could just really, really impact the game in all aspects. Outside of him, it sounds like they also got some experienced guys. They got Griffin Wolf as a 6'4 senior guard. Tommy Huss is a 6'4 senior forward. And then I think this one has to be an all name team. And I'm probably going to pronounce this wrong. I think he might be a football player because I might've seen this name previously, but Caleb Kochendorfer. My favorite thing that coach mentioned here is apparently out in Bedford, they stat the, you know, career and season records for charges taken, and Caleb Kochendorfer, which is a perfectly fitting name for a guy who's out there taking charges like crazy. He had 12 charges last year, which I guess is a school single season record, and he's trying to break the career record. So I think that's awesome that they're tracking that. That is not something that I've been tracking. We don't drill that all the time, but it sounds like they take pride in that, and that is cool. So it sounds like, just looking at them on paper, even they got good size and they're going to make some noise here this year. So I'm interested. I really want to see these guys play, especially with all this stuff we're hearing about Hollinger inside, and I'm curious.
Yeah, you know, Wolf, who stands 6'4", he made 61 threes last year. So that's basically about three a game, which is pretty good at any level. So he definitely a great complement to Hollinger. And Tommy Huss goes 6'4", one of the returning seniors. So a couple newcomers, Carson Benke, a freshman point guard. He's like the Dexter kid. He's going to have some pressure on him. Jesse Demon, a 5'9" junior point guard. He's going to get some time in the backcourt. And Ish Hackey, or Hockey, a 6'3" freshman guard too. So these guys all have, the two freshmen, I'm sure it's not determined yet, but they probably are going to see some minutes at the varsity level. And if not, maybe in a five quarter situation. But if they, you know, like Coach said, they're going to be big, experienced, physical. If they can handle pressure and make good decisions in the backcourt, look out for maybe a surprise or two by the Kicking Mules. So, you know, let's jump over to Ypsilanti Lincoln and my guy, Jesse Davis. You know, Lincoln is, man, you know, it's just such a unique, you know, story with their, you know, what they were before Imani Bates, and then when Bates was there, and then after Imani Bates. And but they always have talent, and expectations is, whenever if Jesse's their coach, expectations are going to be high. And I'm not sure this team has enough to contend this year, but you know they're going to play hard. You know they're going to get after you defensively. You want to start with a little bit of information on Lincoln. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, they have one returning starter a year ago. And we've talked about Jayshon Davis, which is, again, coach's son. He was a great player for him a year ago, and I expect him to, you know, be a guy that averages around 20 points and 10 rebounds again this year. So he's going to be a key for them. He's a 6'4", 225-pound kind of guard forward. Having him is a key for him. And coach mentioned that he's really been putting up good numbers and playing well in the summer and fall. So I expect him to be kind of the guy they lean on this year. And they have a young group around him, an experienced group around him. So you had, Avery White is a junior guard that's a returner. Yasin Ali is a sophomore guard that's played some varsity. And Cameron Dorsey is a senior guard who's played some varsity. Again, those guys are all guards that should, you know, slot in for them at those spots. And then outside of that, you're looking at newcomers again, including a freshman in the mix at 6'4". That's Bryce Poe, who's going to, you know, have a chance to make an impact here right off the bat. And then Eric Jones, a 6'3" junior as well. Like you said, it's really interesting just how the whole thing has worked out. I mean, before Imani Bates was there, they had Division I talent all over the place. I mean, I remember Ty Gross is a guy who's still been, I think he just maybe finished up his college career a year ago or so. And guys like that have gone through the program, they had Haygood and stuff. Yep. And then it really, all of a sudden they got high major D1 guys in there for a year or two, and then the blink of an eye and they're all gone. But you know, like you said, it's, what's really been impressive is Jesse's kept this thing steady even through all that. I mean, it'd been so easy to, after the whole Imani saga, I guess, if you want to call that
circus, just like saga, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. You would have almost expected it just to go totally in the tank, but it really hasn't. I mean, have they been at that level? No, but they've been still solid, and they're putting out a good product, and they're going to compete on a nightly basis. And I think that's what you can expect moving forward.
And we joke Saga and Circus, but got to remember they won a state championship with that Circus. So I would have liked to have been part of that Circus, because that was quite an accomplishment when Imani was a freshman. But yeah, and I think the best thing about this team, Jesse's going to have fun coaching these young guys and teaching them, they're probably going to have some ups and downs in this tough league, but his entire core this year is going to be back in 23-24. So this is kind of a 2-year team, and their development this year is critical in terms of their competition level the following year. But I'm confident he's going to get it done. So it takes us to the Saline Hornets, man. Gotta love the Saline Hornets. You know, they've not obviously, you know, they've done well. They constantly have winning seasons. They're competitive, especially outside the league. Michael Merrick took over for Jake Fosdick, and they played some really good basketball last year as well. They've not been really able to knock on the door and compete in this league and get past that, but they've got some guys. They've got a big fella. They've got a really high profile freshman, another freshman point guard. It seems to be a theme in this conference this year, which is amazing because of the level of play in the league. But I look forward to seeing, you know, I think they're enjoying their under the radar status. I don't think too many people are picking them high, but that might be right where Coach Merrick wants it.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, they really had a kind of that super balanced team a year ago that was mm-hmm. really impressive, and it was senior heavy and experienced. And, you know, that's always fun to have a group like that, and especially when Coach Merrick's first year, to have that had to be nice. But now to have to replace 9 seniors that graduated is tough. Now having the two guys that got at the top of the list here, Dylan Messman and Garrett Baldwin, which are two guys that are, you know, Division I football prospects, that's at least athletically, that's nice to have. So I think that, like, that's not a bad place to start. I'm curious to see, like you mentioned, the freshman point guard, Jonathan Sanderson. And I remember hearing, again, it's like you've mentioned it previously, hearing about this kid coming up. He's supposed to be special, supposed to be a good player. And, you know, it sounds like he's going to get a chance right off the bat to be in the mix. So that's always exciting. And then Harrison Rogers as a junior with some length on the wing coming up as well. Should be exciting. Looking at something Coach mentioned here, their schedule is going to be extremely tough. You know, this is sometimes when you're in the SEC red, there's no way to dodge this, but they play Huron and Skyline before the winter break. So that's going to be tough. And both of them are on the road, and they also drew De La Salle and their, you know, 10 college basketball players over winter break. So they're going to be tested early, and, you know, maybe you always got to look at it was, hey, playing that high level of competition can get you ready for the meat of your season as you get going.
Right. And you didn't even mention East Lansing and Chelsea are on their schedule as well. Coach Merrick, not afraid of great competition. I will state that he scheduled Olivet for senior night in their last week of the regular season. So we might be the cupcake that they put on at the end of the year for that. And I say that in jest, but we're excited about trying to play these guys with just the athleticism that they bring in the big school deal. So, but yeah, I would not be surprised if they, again, might not win the league this year with the youth that they have to go with, but one of those teams that gets better as the year goes on and does quite well outside of their conference, with maybe a couple of exceptions when they're, you know, maybe playing some teams that might be a little bit over their head physically. So, you know, another team that we don't talk a lot about, but let's chat about Monroe, coached by Larry Middleton. And again, a team that in recent years has finished near the bottom or at the bottom of this conference. They've not really been relevant in the SEC red. And, you know, it's got to be discouraging. But they have a couple of guys, one in particular, Gabe Sweat. He's a 5'9 senior point guard. You know, he's the leader of this team. I get a good player a year ago. I guess, you know, he's one of those guys, again, that makes people around him better. He can get to the basket. I think he's become a better shooter in the offseason. And he committed to Concordia last month. So this, you know, one of the better players in the conference. Now, what they have around him will dictate their level of competitiveness in this tough league. But any thoughts on Monroe? Sorry.
Yeah, you know, I think it's always tough when they graduated 4 out of 5 starters, it looks like. And the coach said that those guys basically accounted for 90% of their scoring a year ago. So that really is tough, especially from a team that was already struggling a little bit in the league. But he did mention that the JV team was good a year ago. So yeah, they might have some guys coming here that can make an impact. I mean, having a senior point guard who's a college basketball player is a great place to start. Right. And it sounds like he's good getting to the basket and is really kind of adding to his game with a little bit of a jump shot here. So that's key. It looks like he's got a good running mate as well in Drew Sisney, who's a 6'5" senior center, who can get up and down the floor, rebound the ball and can get to the rim for him some. So I imagine, you know, some pick and roll between those two will be in order for these guys this year. And then the other returning senior they have is Logan Frank, who's a shooting guard for him. It's probably their best perimeter shooter. I'm curious to see if the Trojans can kind of make a little bit of noise. You know, when you have a young team like this, I feel like it's always about trying to find some momentum early in the year. So we'll see how that goes for him.
Well, you know, you get a point guard, a big, and at least one shooter. Those three guys right there on a given night can give you problems. And I don't know how deep Monroe is going to be, but those are three formidable guys. And Lucas Johnson, a 6'3" junior forward, little inside outside guy who can shoot a little bit. He's going to come to the varsity this year. It's a newcomer and could make some noise. And then looks like Lucis or Zeppa or Zepa. I'm going to pronounce it Zeppa and I'm probably butchering it, but a 6'1" junior guard. It looks like he is a streaky shooter who maybe can impact the game in multiple ways. So there are some, he has some pieces, and Coach Middleton, I think, is excited about the year despite the youth and the loss of all the experience that they had. So, you know, that leaves us with Ann Arbor Pioneer. And Pioneers, Coach Marion, I don't know, he might be too busy, you know, supporting Michigan football right now. Maybe it's a golf course. Rich did not provide us with a ton of information. Coach, a little late with it too, but I say that in jest, a good coach and a good guy. And Pioneer is, you know, they're last in our list because we probably have less information on them for this year. But this team will be a factor too. Pioneer is never brutal. And I think they're going to, you know, if someone had to put a line on it, they'd probably pick them in the middle of the pack. But they've got some players. And it's, you know, it'd be interesting. I ran into Coach, I think it was at B-Dubs in Ann Arbor one day. I'm pretty sure that was, maybe it was during the summer. And he was just really excited about the commitment that this team had. Like, he was getting guys to their workouts and because they practice a lot in the summer too, and they play a lot. And the commitment level from all of it program wide really was impressive when he started talking, because I know a lot of coaches struggle with summer commitment. So I see this team as being at least a middle of the pack team in this conference.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it looks like when we pull the other coaches, there's kind of not a consensus on Pioneer. Some people expect him to be kind of upper half. Some people maybe expect him to be kind of the lower end of that middle of the pack. So it's really kind of a little bit of a mystery maybe for everybody here. I know they were the team that I was kind of high on last year, just because I was impressed with them in the summer and in the fall. And they just had a ton of depth. They kind of were really balanced team. They could beat you from a lot of different spots. And I think they still kind of returned some of those guys. Some of those guys were younger players. And again, I think that kind of, you know, like you mentioned, what Coach was speaking on with them being a tight knit group that's kind of bought into this. I think that they should kind of be able to have a similar type of team this year, you know, a deep team that can kind of have different guys in the mix that can help you. I mean, it looks like, you know, you got Antonio Christian is a 6'4" senior, Nate Frieschler as a 6'7" junior forward. And then Reed Juhas as a senior guard for them are a couple of the names that we expect to hear. But I think the thing with them is it's going to kind of be a by committee type deal. At least that's what I expect. And I would not be surprised if they pop a handful of teams, even upper half teams throughout the year this year.
When you look at this conference, I mean, that's, you know, I think we, you know, I don't even want to make a pick on who I think. It's not my job right now. That football picks are over. I don't have to pick a league champion. But let's talk about, you know, potential for some of these teams at a state level, because that's one of the things that separates this league. you know, for maybe some of the other ones in the area, is that they, a good teams out of this league often make a run. And right now, you know, we've got Skyline is in the Dexter district with Brighton, South Lyon, and South Lyon East. Huron, Pioneer, and Saline all go to the Lincoln district on that 84-foot court. And Ypsilanti Community is also in that district. And then Bedford and Monroe go to the Woodhaven district along with Trenton and Gibraltar Carlson. Woodhaven, by the way, pretty good team, 19-5 last year. And I think they got all the way to the regional semifinal. But what are your thoughts in terms of a potential postseason run by one of these teams?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always a safe bet to expect a team that's right there in contention. Like I was kind of mentioned a little bit earlier, just with Division One, it's just, it can go so many ways. When you get into those, you know, it's a one game tournament, you know, and there's a lot of talented teams out there. I you know, you're almost guaranteed a at least one district champion. I would expect two. I'd expect you know, someone to come out of, you know, probably the favorite being Huron in their district. But with that being almost an entirely SEC red district there, and I think Skyline's got to be the favorite in that Dexter district right off the bat. And by the sounds of things, I mean, I think you could easily see Bedford or Monroe winning. I know you mentioned, like you said, there's a couple of good teams like Woodhaven in that district. So I wouldn't be surprised. I'm curious how the regionals will line up. You know, you probably could get something like a Huron Skyline regional game. Have we ever gotten one of those? I know that they always have Skyline for whatever reason gets to go away from their Ann Arbor Community Schools mates there. And they actually run into each other in the regional before?
I don't recall a regional game. Obviously definitely epic district games when they would be in the same district. And all of a sudden in recent years, they've been, I remember Jake Fosdick bringing his name up again. He joked about that one time, how they're in the same school district, the three Ann Arbor schools, but they're not actually in the same MHSA basketball district, which is kind of interesting because you see South Lyon and South Lyon East are in the same district, but they break up the three Ann Arbor schools. So I'm not sure if somebody politically got into that and said, hey, can you break us up so we don't have to play each other every year in the district? But who knows how all that works. I've never been part of that process. So.
Yeah, my guess on the regionals, I don't know if they've actually been released. I'm just looking through the district page as we're talking here. But, you know, you've got the Belleville, Livonia, Churchill, Romulus, Wayne Memorial, Westland, John Glenn district, and then Canton, Detroit Catholic Central, Northville, Novi, Plymouth, Salem. So I think that, you know, on paper, you could probably make an argument that one of those Ann Arbor schools is the favorite. Now, if you obviously not, that by no means are they, you know, their percentage chance of winning that region might be 5%, but they might have the highest individual percentage chance. So I think you could see a team make a run. There's enough talent in this league, and I expect it to be an interesting season and a really interesting tournament.
Right. And Skyline was a, you know, very close to making a run last year. Obviously that you referenced the Belleville game earlier, and Belleville gets all the way to the Final Four. So Skyline would be, I guess, my early pick to just based on their district and just the talent level and the you know, that they've got a superstar and they've got a great supporting cast. They got, you know, three really good players. They've got some defensive pieces. They have what it takes to make a big run if they can, you know, they got that clutch gene, because you're going to have to win a couple close games, obviously, when you get that far in a tournament. So Another typical SEC red. It's going to be fun to watch. Obviously, I don't, you know, we don't see many of these teams, but they'll be fun to follow. And the Washtenaw County basketball, some people like to criticize, but I've always admired it. And I think it's very competitive within the county too. And the SEC red basically is the core of Washtenaw County basketball. So it should be fun.
I definitely agree.
All right. On that note, that wraps up our SEC Red preview. That was fun. And we'll get to preview 6 within the next week. So until then, everybody take care and we'll see you soon.